Good morning, church. You know, I say that it probably is a matter of rote, and as I'm just saying that now, I just think, this is exactly what it is, isn't it? Good morning, church. This is the living body of Christ. And we thank the Lord for all of you as you sit there this morning. Well, I was asked, put on the preaching rota again this morning, just to share a New Year's message was my remit. The last few occasions I've had a particular text to preach on, but my remit was, or at least my ask was simply to preach a New Year's message for today. And I don't know about you, but with Christmas celebrations pretty much over now, people usually turn their attention to the next thing, and that next thing is, of course, New Year. And who would believe that we're actually just about in touching distance of the year 2020? It sounds almost sort of futuristic to me, but that's probably because when I was about Oliver's age, I always remember people always talking about, it's maybe a little short-sighted, 2020 being almost like this magical thing where technology is just going to explode and all these incredible things are going to happen in the year 2020. And now we're there. It's quite incredible. So, not quite the end of a decade yet. Well, depends who you're talking to, because some people think this is the start of a new decade, 2020. I'm not convinced that's right, but I'm sticking to my guns. 2021 will be the start of a new decade, but yes, it almost seems a little bit more grunt to it when we hear that 2020. And I'm not sure what your particular feelings are about New Year, and dare I even say that word, New Year's resolutions. I'll hear by the grunt whether you do it or not. I don't know what New Year means for you, but personally for me, it really just invites an opportunity to reflect. And it's very much in keeping with the prayer that Harry's just prayed as he started this morning. And that is one of thankfulness, of gratefulness, of gratitude. Dare we forget God's grace upon our lives over the course of this year? For many of us, even as I look around this room, I can just see there are many ways in which we could testify to God's grace and be tremendously thankful. And I'll even then, with that in mind, I wasn't going to do this, plug this evening service. If you want to bear witness and testimony to that gratitude, come and share that with us and encourage us in this evening service. But this reflection for me personally is both necessary and useful. I really am always striving to be a better person, and which by implication means that I'm striving to be a better father, I'm striving to be a better husband, I'm striving to be a better friend, a better church leader, a better businessman, all of which are incredibly important to me. But ultimately, nothing being more important than being a better follower or disciple of Christ Jesus. That's ultimately where it all ends for me, and where I derive my greatest pleasure. And I think for all of us, as we reflect on the year, for many of us, I would like to think I'm a person of intentionality. I don't just rumble from one year into the next. I want to be intentional about my walk with Christ. I want to be intentional about being used here in this church. I don't want to just float and be kind of blown this way or that way, or just go wherever the mood strikes. I think we need to be intentional, and sometimes we need to reflect in order to bring that intentionality into our walk with the Lord. One of the things, I guess, in many of the things that you would reflect on and the things that you would hope for in the new year is that it would be a good year, a happy year. Happiness is something that we all would strive for, that we would all long for. Nobody would invite a disastrous year upon themselves. We all want to walk through the year thinking that that was a good, happy year. If I can just remind you again what happiness, or this blessed, which is the word that's going to come up in this. In fact, let me leave that for the moment. I'm going to read two very simple texts this morning, one out of Psalms 1. So if you want to go to the book of Psalm, we're going to start there. And I love the Psalms because I think the Psalms very often have a wonderful capacity just to capture that reality of the human experience. They certainly express my emotions when often I can't express my own emotions. They express your personal feelings, attitudes, of various gratitudes as well. And I think the Psalms are just a wonderful place when, even sometimes when we're feeling like we're a little bit lost in the world, Psalms is a good, good place to go and just to bathe yourself there in God's Word. I said to Mark as I was preparing for this morning, you know, I don't want to be particularly clever. Don't want to be particularly exegetical and come with a smart idea to make myself look smart, although I hope I look smart. I just want to be pretty simple in speaking God's Word in the simplicity that it is written in, but hopefully with a far greater empowerment that comes from the words that I might utter this morning. Psalm 1, and then I'm going to read from Jeremiah as well, which captures very much the same sort of thought. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. And therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." I know you all know where to find Psalms very easily. I would hope you know to find Jeremiah just as easy, but you could either just sit and listen, or if you'd like to follow along with me, and it's on the screen there as well, is Jeremiah 17, and from verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bring fruit or to bear fruit. That's God's word to us this morning. It's a very simple text, isn't it? There isn't anything particularly clever in that. But yet it is unmistakably a key to a much fuller living in Christ, a much fuller life in Christ. And the psalmist here is saying, blessed is the man, blessed. It's that sense again of that happiness, that sense of God's favor or being happy. Again, and we relate to this happiness not as an experience of elation, but again as our sense of deep inner contentment in the Lord, unaffected by our particular surroundings. That's the blessedness that he's talking about here. That's the happiness, that deep inner contentment. Not a superficial feeling of well-being on circumstances, but on a supernatural experience. based on our lives being right and at one with God. Notice what he says here is, blessed is the man who does not walk, I'm going to read that again, in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. And it's interesting to me that blessing does not only come through the things that we do, but also in the things that we don't do. And sometimes we invite blessing upon our lives in the things that we don't offer to do in obedience to God. And there's almost a progression here in terms of that, the way in which he says it. There's firstly the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or then stand in the way of sinners, and then sit in the seat of mockers. Do you see that progression? And I think for us, if we're wanting to be blessed, if you're wanting 2020 to start in a way, in a sense where that we're feeling that sense of blessedness, and we're wanting to be enriched through God's experience, it is one of not engaging with these sinners, in the way of sinners, in the seat of mockers, in the counsel of the wicked. And it's so easily to get entangled in that way. Our sinful nature is prevalent to wanting to partner with these things. And that is why we, as opposed to partnering with sin, we partner with Christ. We renounce our sinful ways and we seek to not get involved in those things that would rob us of our sense of peace. And here, I think it's very interesting to me anyway, that sin very often starts that way. That it may just start with standing amongst sinners, where we're not engaged in any way. We're just participating in what's going on through kind of our presence there and so on. But sometimes we become calloused to those things and we find ourselves, you know, some of those crude jokes don't sound that crude anymore. They don't sound that sort of out of bounds. We'll just let them slip past us, and we won't really kind of be too bothered by them. But I think that's a slippery slope. I think that the moment we start to engage with anything that is sinful, it starts where you offer the hand, and when you realize that it's not just got your fingers, but it's got a firm grasp around your wrist, and that becomes the sitting in the seat of mockers. You might even then be comfortable with the way in which you've some of the things that you've heard, and you might even just not just be a passerby anymore. You might stand amongst those who are engaged in this particular way. And you see that progression. And not so long after that, you might find yourself seated in the very seat of the mocker. And I think it's important for us to recognize that if we want to be blessed in the Lord, that we need to make sure that we are not in partnership with the way of the world. Of course, we partners with the way in the world in which we are seeking to bring them to the light of the world and salvation. But we still conduct ourselves as those who are saved, as believers in Christ, and not in a way that identifies ourselves with sinners. and I think that's important for us to do. If we're wanting to grow in the Lord in this coming year, if you're wanting to be happy in your relationship with Christ, make sure that you uproot that any sinful pattern that you may have. And if you're even sitting there and you've kind of pinpointed something this morning, I invite you, even the here and the now, just to repent of that and ask God to forgive you for those particular ways, and that you would be restored into that fellowship with him. He goes on then to say, but his delight is in the law. So it's not a matter of delighting in sinful patterns, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind, were we to take the words of this very book and to live it out to the best of our ability and capacity, that we would be blessed beyond belief. I'm not saying for a moment that hardships won't come our way. We are not promoted into the state of euphoria where nothing comes to us that is that we are untouched in any way. But together with the psalmist, I believe that if we focus on immersing ourselves in God's word, in the plans that he has for us, and to delight in his plans over us. I mean, there's that tension of trying to live in autonomy with our own set of rules, our own set of morals, our own set of purpose and direction. But that's not really what it's about. If we're wanting to be, carry on where I started earlier in terms of intentionality, if we want to be people that are intentional, we need to make sure that that we are in God's word. And then there, so by God allows his word to speak to us and to guide us and give us a sense of purpose for the things that he has planned for us, individually and corporately. And so our delight is to be in God's word. And being in God's word very much, and that's why I'm reading this text in Jeremiah as well, which very much says the same thing, I guess. But, where he says that blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, my greatest sense of trust and confidence in the Lord comes through his word. The more and more I immerse myself in the word of God, the more I trust in his word and I trust in him and not trust in myself. Of course, we've all got capacity to rely on self, but the word of God even warns against that. I mean, earlier in Jeremiah's gospel, he says here that in chapter 9 and verse 23, he says, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, or the strong man boast in his strength, or the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts about this, that he understands and knows me, and that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, righteousness on earth, for in those I delight. So it's not about placing your trust in your ability, your wealth, your wisdom, your capacity to take a crowd with you, but really our blessed nature, our happiness is to be found in walking closely with the Lord, in step with him, and trusting in his word, trusting in him, and putting our confidence in him. I don't know how you feel about putting your trust and your confidence in the Lord. But for me, again, it's just a matter of one of the scriptures that, of course, would have come up during the course of this, just dwelling on what to share with you for this morning, is that scripture that says we need to press on towards the goal to win the prize. And again, it's just that encouragement to press in to the things of the Lord and to press on and to find that sense of trust in the things that God's going to do for us. And it made me think again, and I think I might have heard this phrase come up in the men's meeting in Capenray, where it's a book that I probably was introduced to maybe 25 years ago. I think the book's about 40 years old now. We used to read a lot of Eugene Peterson's books at one stage through some of our works that we did. And one of his books is entitled The Long Obedience in the Same Direction. A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Does anybody recognize that book? Know that book? Okay, so there are a couple of people that are raising their hands. And I remember some 25 years ago, that title really just caught my attention. Wherein we are just pressing on and pressing into the same things of God. Sometimes we don't necessarily feel that we are in the perfect place with God, with what He's doing in our lives, and you know, maybe there feels like there's this gap, but in those moments, I just focus on the fact that it's a long obedience in the same direction. I'm not deterred by the things that are going on around about me. And that book really just is a, to the best of my recollection, I haven't looked at it now again recently, but I think it's the Psalms of Ascent, or the 15 Psalms that he goes through, that Peterson goes through. And it's all about this just keeping our fix, keeping our gaze firmly fixed on Christ in that long obedience in the same direction. And I'm a big fan of that. I'm a big fan of that phrase, really. I don't know how it's a phrase that he robbed from a German philosopher who was an atheist. I don't know how he would feel about that. Should he walk into Eugene Peterson's study? I know Eugene is not alive anymore, but should he walk into that study and pick that book up off the and recognize that's actually how I was speaking with regard to atheism when I phrased that particular, or coined that phrase, and Eugene's flipped it on its head, and that's what we have. But I'm big in terms of promoting that and just recognizing that that is what it's about. It's me just being obedient in the same direction, not being called to come stand and to walk by the sinners and then to stand with them and sit in the seat of mockers. It's remaining resolutely focused on my goal with Christ by being transformed into His likeness day by day. He says here that when we delight ourselves in the law, when we delight ourselves in the Word of God, and when the Word of God so infiltrates our lives that we can then trust in the Lord and put our confidence in Him, He says that we will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. Do you get that picture of that tree planted? Do you get that picture of a tree? I don't know what tree you would choose to be. I mean, there's some incredible trees, whether they be oak trees or whether they be in Africa, I think we have these big baobab trees, which almost looks like an upside down tree with the roots stuck somewhat up there, and it's a bit of a weird looking thing. But one thing it does certainly do, it just represents such a great measure of strength. And it's quite a telling analogy that we are like trees planted by streams of water. I mean, you just dwell, let your mind just dwell on that yourselves for a moment. A tree planted by the water is a tree that never loses touch with its source of its strength. A tree planted by water is not easily moved from its foundation. A tree planted by water is resilient. It bounces back from the assault and the challenges that nature may bring. A tree planted by water bears fruit and therefore justifies its existence. And those who trust in the Lord are like trees planted by water. I don't know whether you feel that sense of strength, of resilience, of fruitfulness, but that is the very thing that God has planned for us in this coming year, is that we are like those trees, planted, rooted, firmly established. We think of Ephesians 3, around about 16, where it says that we are rooted and established in God's love. And I think when we get the gist of that, of being rooted in Him, there is just a greater strength in walking through our Christian walk with Christ. there is a sense of permanence in that plantedness. And it's almost as if God not just plants us, but he's transplanted us. He's taken us out of our sinful nature, and he has transplanted us into a new nature. And there he nurtures us. There he seeks to grow us. There he seeks to develop us as his children. But it's in putting down our roots. It is establishing our roots. And that means that we need to go deep with God. If we're wanting to be successful this year, and in particularly spiritually, and the jury is out there on how you should measure success. You can chat to me about that afterwards. I don't think I want to go on a tangent and follow that rabbit. But our success is very much based on that rootedness with Christ. There is no doubt in my mind. As we put down our roots with him and we rely upon that source, that water to nourish us and to feed us, that we would sense this strength and the value of walking with him. He says, which yields fruit in season. That's something that we all want to experience, the fruit of the Spirit. We all want to develop various fruit in our lives and to sense that God is developing us. One thing that's interesting about a tree is that that big, massive oak tree that you see standing in front of you, how long do you think that it's taken to get to that point? That's probably taken the better part of 100 or 150 years to see the magnificence of that. And you know, sometimes I want to rush that journey with God. I want to say, Lord, I want to look different, not slightly different. I want to look massively different. I want my life so transformed that I don't even recognize myself. And yes, that's good. But I think the slower process, that slower through the chastisement, through the difficulties, through the challenges, as we dig deeper, as our roots go deeper, I think we have the capacity to stand stronger. And it's through the length of our journey of faith with Christ that we are able to achieve this. I don't know that I need to necessarily string this out any longer. I think you get the point. That as we seek to put our roots down at the streams of living water, we will certainly find that there is a greater strength, a greater prosperity, that prosperity being that fruitfulness. And there's that stability in our walk with Christ. He will be like a tree planted by the water. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. I'm not going to mention any names, but it's been abundantly clear to me during the course of this year again, as I've looked upon the lives of one or two people in the church, certainly. When everything in them should be maybe doubting or questioning, there just seems to be that overwhelming sense of leaves are always green. There is always a sense of positivity. There is always a sense of victory in spite of circumstance. And that has been a tremendous witness to me again over the course of this year. And so I'll ask you again this morning, where are your roots? Are they going to be like that that bush in the wasteland that is just tossed backwards and forwards? Or will you, in the course of this year, seek to put down your roots in Christ, to establish yourself at the streams of living water, to grow in strength, to grow in trust, to grow in confidence in him? And so that's my challenge to you this morning, to Yeah, just to immerse yourself in the things of God and to watch the space and to see how God would cause maybe even new life to grow in you. There's, of course, all those other passages that we could have read through John's Gospel, the vine and the branches. But just to see how God could develop and use you over the course of this year. And I trust that you would be like those trees, firmly established in the permanence and the presence of the Almighty. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that he who began a good work in us will be faithful to bring it to completion. Lord, I'm not really sure that it's my responsibility to do the things that are in fact your joy, to bring about that fruitfulness in my life and in our lives. Lord, I know there's also a massive difference between simply trying and making a purposeful, intentional means to train our minds and our bodies to follow the way of the Lord. Lord, it's our duty to simply consecrate ourselves unto you. And Father, for you to do the rest. Father, we pray that over the course of this coming year, that we would be as trees, certainly whose strength is found in you. And Lord, we pray that no matter what comes our way during the course of this year, we will not be fearful. We will not be worried. But Lord, that our confidence would be in you. And so Father, we just pray that you would recall over the next few days just those moments that we can be in gratitude to you and give you thanks for the way in which you have already done that, and we can see evidence of that in our lives. And so Father, we pray that you would continue to be with us now as we close and sing our closing song, and as we leave this place, we ask your blessing upon us in Jesus' name. Amen.